Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and boy, do we have a lot of work to do today to talk about my interview yesterday with Americans United for Life president Peter Samuelson. Now, he appeared this week on the PBS Frontline show titled The Last Abortion Clinic, and that show itself has confused many Christians into thinking that it was a great presentation for the pro-life movement, and that it showed that we're winning the battle. But we are not winning. The Republican cheerleading of Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Sean Hannity, Michael Medved, and Rush Limbaugh notwithstanding, we are not winning. PBS does not use their programming airtime to help the pro-life movement. And while their producers understood exactly what they were doing, we Christians seem to have missed the whole function of that program. And we'll talk about that a bit later in the show. But first, let's talk about Americans United for Life and their president, Peter Samuelson, and the interview where I asked him, we were going through a list of bullets where 7 out of 8 issues, George W. Bush's nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court, Samuel Alito, voted on the Planned Parenthood side of 7 out of 8 issues. That was in 7 different cases that I've found so far, along with others who have helped to identify conservative pro-life Christians who are actually looking at Alito's record. And if you noticed, one of the leading pro-life Christian lawyers in America, the guy who's the president of Americans United for Life, Peter Samuelson. Now, he's what? He is a lawyer who is the head of America's oldest national pro-life group, and they use the law and the courts to fight abortion. And judges, that's one of the most important thing to them and to all our national Christian pro-life organizations are judges in the nomination of pro-life judges. And if you noticed, Peter Samuelson did not know Alito's record. He was confused about fundamental cases that Alito has ruled on, whether Alito has ruled on that you can't sue for the wrongful death of a fetus because he could find no confirmation of any kind of rights for the fetus in law in the Constitution, or if he ruled that it was easier to get tax-funded abortions, or whatever the case. Peter Samuelson really didn't know Alito's record. And if you notice, he really didn't care about Alito's record. He was determined to support Samuel Alito regardless of how blatant the decision he made to kill innocent children, almost regardless of what he said about unborn children and slaughtering them, because he sees in Alito some kind of a soul brother who will agree and say, you know, I don't think judges should be activist judges. And that's about it. That's about the only thing that seemed to be important. And as I was bringing up these cases, Peter Samuelson, this leading pro-life lawyer, is just defending Alito no matter what he does. It's almost as though he could slaughter a child with his own hands, Alito could, and Peter Samuelson would say, well, he's our guy because he believes in judicial restraint. So if you're listening right now and you know right from wrong, we have our work cut out for us because our national Christian ministries no longer know how to think in terms of right and wrong. Peter Samuelson, in the entire half-hour interview, indicated by his answers again and again that he is a legal positivist. Their organization is legal positivist. That means you elevate man's law above God. And I described him and the pro-life movement exactly like that. I use that term. We're now a legal positivist Christian community, and he did not dispute that. And ask yourself this. Can man's agreements take precedence over God's law? Precedent. Can man's agreements take precedent over God's law? Is that possible? If God says, thou shalt not murder, because so many Christians now have been convinced, you see, we've transferred our loyalty from God to the Constitution. And if the Constitution, by some argument, can be construed to say it's okay for lower courts to rule that you can kill children, even like Alito has ruled with partial birth abortion. If the Constitution can be construed to supposedly say that, well, then is it okay for men to kill children like that? In other words, can man's agreements take precedent over God's law, yes or no? If God says, thou shalt not murder, and a number of men get together and they come up with some agreement, and they say, you know, whatever is right and wrong, let's just agree between ourselves, not to worry ourselves about that. Let's just set up a set of rules and abide by those rules. And if we overlook or if we violate thou shalt not murder, that is no longer going to be compelling. That's not how we're going to judge one another or decide whether a leader or a judge or a law has merit. We're not going to consider thou shalt not murder. We will make that a lesser authority. We will relegate that to a lesser position of a value system. And our greater value system will be whatever rules we come up with. So let's come up with rules. For example, if a higher court judge says that you can murder Jews, then all the lower court judges should go along with that. They should go along with that. And if they do go along with it, they're not guilty. And not only are they not guilty, they could be praiseworthy and we could support them because they're following the process, which is what Peter Samuelson yesterday indicated was so very important, that we have to follow the process and that precedence is so important because otherwise, how will we know what to expect from the government? That was one of his arguments. So precedence is important. That's why he was defending Alito, upholding the legal killing of unborn children, because of how important it is that we know what to expect from our government. I would think, first of all, the first precedent you would want to expect from your government is that they will not murder you. That's the first. And that they will not murder your children, nor make it legal for people to murder children. That's the first precedent. And if you throw that out, if Christian leaders are willing to throw that out and they're willing to compromise on thou shalt not murder, then what? So Peter Samuelson was completely comfortable coming on a Christian talk show. And I think he was surprised, by the way, and I doubt he's had an interview quite like that because our Christian media has, for the most part, become completely legal positivist. And they are willing to endorse men and just and defend judges who rule that you can kill children because it goes along with our process. And we can't take God's law all that seriously because, as Samuelson said, look, that would make you irrelevant. You can't have a Christian who actually obeys God and expect he could be involved in leadership and government. That's ridiculous. Well, why is that ridiculous? Oh, it would never work. Well, how do you know it would never work? Peter Samuelson of Americans United for Life, we've never tried it. What if we had Christian leaders who say it's wrong, it is wrong to kill innocent children, and no decision by any court in the world can justify the killing of unborn children? And I will refuse to uphold the killing of unborn children for my career or for some kind of a long-term political goal. Now, why is it that we don't like terrorists? Well, we don't like terrorists because they're willing to kill the innocent to advance some type of a political agenda. Now, that's wrong. It's called murder. Why is it that I'm angry with Focus on the Family? Because Focus on the Family is willing to support, they're willing to support the legal positivism, laws, regulations that say you can kill these children, you can kill this child, like Priscilla Owens, baby 10, or Samuel Alito, you can kill late-term babies in New Jersey using partial birth abortion. You can kill them. We will defend this judge. We will defend his philosophy that led him to keep late-term abortion legal. We will defend his ruling because we think it will help us arrive at our political goals eventually. So does that justify the terrorists? Does that justify the Christians who are now compromising on thou shalt not murder because they think that some agreement that men make rightly takes precedence over God's thou shalt not murder? And they think, you know, if we just hold our nose and look the other way, actually, with Peter Samuelson, it's not holding his nose looking at Alito. He loves the guy. From the adulation he was describing Samuel Alito with. And here is a man who over and over and over again ruled on the side of Planned Parenthood. But once Americans United for Life are willing to compromise on thou shalt not murder, there's no logical place morally where they will not compromise. So they really hardly care about the rulings from Alito. They hardly care. They hardly care. He could have ruled for Planned Parenthood every time. And if he says, well, you know, I believe that judges should not be activist judges. That's what Focus on the Family said. Focus on the Family, their spokesman, Carrie Gordon Earle, she said that we care less about abortion than we do about judicial philosophy and judges who are not activists. And, you know, Samuel Alito is telling senators that he's not an activist judge, and he gives Roe v. Wade a lot of respect. And even if he thinks it was decided poorly, that's not grounds for overturning it. And so we may find out that he's really not an activist judge, and he really does respect precedent. So we'll see. Let's go to Aurora, Colorado. Pat, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. The interview you did yesterday was so incredible that I wanted to pull my ears off while I was driving down the road because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. You've talked about this issue for a long time, but I never heard somebody from this side, the pro-life side, articulate it so clearly and say exactly what you've been talking about, which is that they're willing to kill babies and
to justify the killing of children to obtain some long-term goal that we could do evil, that good might come of it. That has become our strategy.
Well, it was so much worse than that, because first of all, you handled him perfectly. I can't believe how subtle you were. What you did was you got him to explain his whole side completely and entirely. Yeah. And when you talked about just suggested God's law, his attitude was more or less, well, that is too ideal. He continually went back to we are a society that's governed by the rule of law, the rule of law, the rule of law.
Yeah, and if we're governed by the rule of law, how about thou shalt not murder? Why is it that that one law could be compromised and ignored so that we could be a country on the rule of law regulating the killing of children?
Well, and he articulated the reason and the answer to that, which was that we have to operate within this fallen world, so therefore we have to operate by this rule of law, which includes that it's unfortunate, or whatever word to use, it's tragic that we may have to kill children once in a while, or millions by the tens of millions, but so be it. This is it, and this is what we have, and this is the way it has to be.
Yeah, this
and
is
what you're talking
right.
about is
idealistic. Yeah, Pat. Yeah, idealistic is either democracy, and we go along with the killing of children and we regulate it for our long-term political goals, or idealistic is thou shalt not murder, and urge every judge and every official to say, I will not participate in the killing of innocent children. So we both have ideals, and his ideal begins with compromising on thou shalt not murder. And he is, but he does not compromise on his secular democratic worldview. So his secularism he will not compromise on, whereas God's revealed thou shalt not murder, that is what all of our national ministries are now compromising on. They are all compromising on thou shalt not murder.
And Bob, I see it so clearly now, and this was the I digested every detail and the full implications of this interview and what he said, and that is that beyond murdering tens or even hundreds of millions of children, it's even, I would say, this sounds maybe it's too extreme, but the death of Christianity as far as the effectiveness and our country becoming like Europe. Because
he said that you can't expect people to live like Christians and then actually be involved in government. He spoke as though that was absurd, and so therefore we're training the best and brightest Christian young people. Get ready to compromise on your Christianity, on God, on morality, so that you can have an influence in our culture, and by the time they become leaders or judges, they no longer know right from wrong, and they are the problem, just like Peter Samuelson is the problem.
And Bob, when we get to this point where he's at, and so many Christians, and I will say James Dobson, what happens is we have made a choice to obey man over God.
Right.
And that's why
explicitly,
I say the death of effective Christianity.
Yeah.
But only Christianity in name alone, because what has happened is we've literally placed another God before the true God, because we've made a choice to disobey God.
Yeah, and Pat, and that is trickle-down economics, morally, into the individual lives of Christians going to our churches. The moral fabric of the body of Christ is deteriorating. The foundation is crumbling, and that's why for years I've asked young people, if there's a Christian couple, they're engaged for some months, or a Christian couple have been dating for a year, what percentage of them are being immoral? And the answer I'm getting, the only answer I've gotten from young Christian people in the last years that I've been asking that question, is all of them. They're all sleeping together outside of marriage. All of them.
And I agree. And, yeah. And Bob, this is the very reason why when it came up a few shows ago about talking too much about abortion, this is why you can't never talk about it too much. The reason why is because this is such a graphic and extreme example of, if you will murder the most innocent and pure and youngest and harmless among us, and you will disobey God in order to do that, then what would you possibly obey God to do?
And speaking with this guy from this Frontline TV show this week, The Last Abortion Clinic, the president of Americans United for Life, Peter Samuelson, there was nothing I could have exposed Alito doing that he would have disapproved of. He was in the mindset to approve anything that Alito did. And he's not aware. He hadn't read the cases. He was somewhat aware, probably a third aware of Alito's record on abortion than I was at the start of that interview. And no matter what we found Alito doing, he would defend it because he no longer thinks in terms of right and wrong. And when Focus on the Family could support a man, or D. James Kennedy, or the American Family Association, when they could support a judge like Samuel Alito, who voted to uphold partial birth abortion, what they have done is they have brought shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And Bob, beyond him knowing the details of any of these justices, he made it clear about his principles. So regardless of
right
what the details of the current information is. It doesn't matter. He made it clear.
Right.
His stand on abortion.
That's my point. It didn't really matter what Alito had ruled about abortion. It doesn't matter if Alito had gone and killed the kids himself, because Americans United for Life are legal positivist, and they believe if you have a certain judicial philosophy that men have agreed to, that takes precedence over thou shalt not murder. So we don't really care about how many kids he has killed by judicial decree. We like him politically. And, you know, the Nazis did that and the Al-Qaeda's doing that when they have a political goal and they don't really care about the intentional killing of the innocent. What they care about is gradually moving toward their political goal. That's what's becoming of the body of Christ.
You said it, Bob. And
thank you, Pat.
The interview that you did, Bob, I will say this. The event of this, of last century and this century, was not the JFK assassination or the O.J. Simpson trial. It was that little interview you did that took about 15 minutes or so yesterday, because that man was so articulate. He explained perfectly exactly where the hearts of these Christian leaders are, where they've compromised on the most serious issue. And I've never realized and never seen it. I heard you talk about it, but I never heard it from one of these people.
Yeah.
That's
well,
amazing.
Thank you. Pat, thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you. I appreciate that. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So Samuel Alito voted to keep partial birth abortion legal in New Jersey, the killing of babies, even in the later months, in the third trimester, which abortion is murder from the moment of fertilization if you intentionally kill a living human being. But late-term abortion, it should be utterly obvious even to the wicked that their justifications fail and they're murdering innocent children. And even that, Samuel Alito voted to keep partial birth abortion legal. And if you remember when I interviewed Hugh Hewitt, and if you didn't hear that interview, you owe it to yourself to go online to our website, kgov.com. Do a search. Just search for Bob Enyart Hugh Hewitt. It'll pop right up on Google. And listen to that half-hour interview where I asked him. Now, he's the number one Christian call-in talk show host in America. He's on Salem Radio Network. And every issue, I asked him bullets, sort of like yesterday's interview. And every one, he gave the anti-Christian answer. Every one. Every one. And he argued with me how vital it was that George W. Bush win because, you know, his opponents could be supportive of partial birth abortion. You know, Hillary, she might support partial birth abortion. Then at the end of the interview, I asked him, would you support Rudy Giuliani? And he says, oh, yeah, of course, if he's the party's nominee, of course. Yeah, but he supports partial birth abortion. Well, that's beside the point because he's one of us. Well, would you support Samuel Alito now, Hugh Hewitt? Well, of course I am. I'm supporting him all the way. He's a great guy. Yeah, but he voted to keep partial birth abortion illegal. I thought that was the one thing that was going to keep us all on the wagon so we wouldn't fall off and vote for some pro-lifer in the last election. Because the opponents supported partial birth abortion. Now the Christian the body of Christ is going to be asked to perhaps... Well, Hugh Hewitt's doing it already, and so is Sean Hannity, saying how great Rudy Giuliani would be as a nominee and a candidate. Well, I thought that was so terrible. If you support partial birth abortion, that's the real indicator that you're absolutely evil. And here's Samuel Alito. He even voted to uphold partial birth abortion. Even that. Even that. And he's a hero. In fact, he's one of the judges. He's the kind of judge we need to turn this whole thing around and to restore America and to bring back a culture of life. Why? Because he voted in 1997 that he prevented a lawsuit for the wrongful death of a fetus. He couldn't find any kind of legal protection. We have states in America where you could be charged with the wrongful death of a fetus. He couldn't find that. He's supposed to be a conservative Christian pro-lifer. He couldn't find that. Somebody commits a murder maybe and They kill a pregnant woman, and there's another crime here. You killed also Connor Peterson. That's not a crime? In 1995, he voted to keep it easy to get a tax-funded abortion by claiming rape, even when there's no crime had been reported to police. In the year 2000, he ordered New Jersey to pay $500,000 to Planned Parenthood lawyers. He had no choice. Now, Peter Samuelson was quick to say, oh, he had no choice. Now, he doesn't know that. He didn't check. He said, well, sometimes the judge has a choice, but in practice, they always award lawyer's fees. Well, and then he said, oh, I'm sure he had no choice. Do you get the point? He doesn't want to know. He doesn't really want to know. He's just going to assume that everything Alito said is good because he's already compromised every day of his professional life on thou shalt not murder. So what does it really matter about Alito? And Alito voted to deny asylum to a Chinese man whose child was forcibly aborted by the Chinese government at 8 months of age. And he denied asylum on a technicality. And you think Samuel Alito, in that Christian pro-life heart of his, could have found the mercy somewhere to say, you know what, you're welcome to stay in America. The Chinese government killed your child at 8 months of age by force. And even though in America we have all this Roe v. Wade, we still have regulations whereby if you had to undergo a forced abortion or a spouse had to undergo a forced abortion, we'll grant you asylum in our country. And so this is your child that was killed at 8 months of age. The Chinese government may persecute you. You're welcome to stay here in America. No, but Samuel Alito could not find it in that big Christian pro-life heart of his to let this man stay here in this country. And that was okay, too, because Peter Samuelson said, well, I don't really know about that case. Well, how often, Peter, is a man nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court? And why would you be urging his confirmation when you don't even know the cases he's ruled on that are so obviously involved on the abortion issue? And no matter what child Alito said to kill, we've got Americans United for Life ready to defend him because he's a great judge. Because we've decided that human agreements take precedent over thou shalt not murder. Hey, we're going to Greece in May, May 18th to the 31st. It's about $3,100 a person. If you'd like to join us, a Bible tour of Greece, we'll have a great time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out, Maranatha, 431-5653. And our website is at KGOV.com. Check it out, KGOV.